You may remain seated for the story from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and she was expecting a child. Now, while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them elsewhere. In that region now there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone before them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth peace on those whom he favors." And when the angel had left them and gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about that child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all these things, all these words, pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. And the people said, "Amen." Since it is Christmas Eve, I thought I would ask you all to take a vote for me. I'm going to give you four choices, so think of which one you want to vote for, okay? The vote is over what you like best about Christmas. Now, here are your four choices. Getting presents, giving presents, eating all the special food at Christmas time, or washing the dishes after the Christmas dinner. Okay, you got those four choices? So we're going to take a vote now. Okay, are you ready to vote? Think which one. It's either going to be getting presents, giving presents, eating the Christmas food, or doing the dishes afterward. Now this is, I was up at Pisodum. There were 40 people up there for their service. I did the same poll. The only one who voted to do dishes was 1 3-year-old boy. I'm pretty sure he had no idea what I was talking about, all right? So, okay, how many like getting presents, best of all, about Christmas? All right, there's a lot of dishonest people here tonight. I can tell that already. All right, how many like giving presents, best of all? All right, how many like the special food at Christmas? All right, yeah, all right. And how many like the, and how many like doing dishes? All right, there's a few people here. Raise your hands up. You're going to be in big demand tomorrow. So I will guarantee you that. So I preached my first Christmas Eve sermon. This is my 45th one. And I was a pastor at a church before that that didn't have a Christmas Eve service. But I remember the first Christmas Eve service that I had preached. The thing that I remember the most about it is that my mother was really honked off that I wasn't going to be at her house that night. So I was serving a little church just outside of East St. Louis. And, I mean, my mother, Christmas Eve and the family all there and all them, the oldest one of my siblings, and that's a big thing for her to have all the family together. And I told her, I said, I can't be there. My church has an 11 o'clock p.m. service. They don't even get over till midnight. And it was a five-hour drive beyond that. I said, I can't do it. And, she was the worst I've ever seen her when I had to tell her that I was going to miss it. What made it even worse was that my brother had just started dating a girl in my congregation, and he decided not to be there either. So he decided to be with me. So here it was, Christmas Eve, and we were both in trouble. And so we decided that as soon as that service was over, we would drive through the night and surprise my mom. So that's what we did. We got in about 5:30 in the morning, and my brother let us in the house. Our third brother let us in the house. And we went up and went to sleep. But the thing I noticed as soon as we walked in the house, my mom is really big on Christmas stocking. How many of you have Christmas stockings in your house? You got your names on them and all of that sort of stuff. And my mom is always really big on that. We walked in a house, and here's all the Christmas stockings except for Jim and me. I mean, she wouldn't even give us a stocking that night. So that's what I remember. That was my first. That's what I most remember about my first Christmas Eve sermon that I gave, was how mad my mother was at me that I even bothered to do that. Now, I also, I'm pretty sure I remembered what I talked about that night, because earlier that, just a month before that service, I had been to Bethlehem. And so I may have a copy of that sermon somewhere deep in the filing cabinet, but I'm positive that's what I talked about, because I'd just been there a month earlier, and what it was like to be in Bethlehem and then to share those feelings. Well, I didn't go back to Bethlehem for 45 years until this year. And so you're not going to get the original Bethlehem sermon that I talked about, but I've been thinking about that. Jay and I and Mindy and Jordan, we were all there in February. And Bethlehem is an interesting place. At the time of Jesus, it was just a small place. It was about as big as Pisodom, a few hundred people was all. And it stayed that size through most of the Bible times. Today, when you go there, over 90,000 people are crammed in, and there's cars and trucks and buses and bustling going on, all sorts of activity going on now in Bethlehem. It's a very old city. Obviously, if Jesus was born there, it's older than Mattoon, obviously. But in the Bible, it was not always a happy city. In fact, the very first story in the Bible that we have about Bethlehem is a story about Rachel dying there. Rachel was Jacob's wife, his favorite wife. He had several at the same time, and she died giving birth. And so they buried her there in Bethlehem. And so the first we hear of Bethlehem in the Bible, it's a city of sadness. It's a city of death. It starts out as a city of darkness. The last story that we have in the Bible about Bethlehem is a story of the king's soldiers, King Herod, his soldiers, marching through the city of Bethlehem, trying to slaughter all the baby boys who live there. So Bethlehem is not always, the first story of Bethlehem and the last story of Bethlehem in the Bible are very, very dark stories, very sad stories. And in the middle of that, we have some good things about Bethlehem. It's just one of those places. It's one of these places that experiences both light and darkness. The story of Ruth takes place in the city of Bethlehem. There was a woman by the name of Naomi, and Naomi was married, had a couple sons, and during some problems, famine, that sort of thing, usually what caused people to move around, migrate in Bible times, they ended up in a foreign country, and while they were there, Naomi's two sons married Moabite wives. They married foreign wives. Well, Naomi came upon some hard times while she was an immigrant, and her husband died, and both of her sons died. And so she decided that she better go back among her own people because she had no future there in Moab. And so she prepared to go back to her own people after this tragedy. And her family was located in Bethlehem. And so she got ready to leave. An interesting thing happened. One of her daughter-in-laws, who would be also a young widow at this point, said, "Wherever you go, I will follow. And your people will be my people." And that was Ruth. And there's a whole book in the Bible about Ruth, a lovely book about loyalty and about friendship and about people caring for one another. There's another story about Bethlehem, and that's where King David was from. So King David, measure it out. Depends on which story you're reading about King David, whether it's a good one or a bad one. David was such a rich character. So Bethlehem, good things happen in Bethlehem, troubles happen in Bethlehem. It's kind of like Christmas. Good things happen at Christmas, but it seems like some of the worst things happen at Christmas too. Wonderful things occur at this time of year in our lives, but also tragedies occur at this time of our lives. In fact, there are many churches that have a special worship service on December the 21st. That's the day with the shortest daylight and the most darkness. Have worship service they call a Blue Christmas, because so many people struggle during this season because they have lost somebody that's important to them, or some tragedy has happened, and there's nothing worse than having everybody around you happy and you're suffering and you're struggling. And so that's the way this season is. It's a season of both great joy as well as great sadness. And so that's the way Bethlehem is, a city of great joy, but also a city of great sadness. When we were in Bethlehem, we had experiences of great joy. We would walk down where the shops were, and the merchants would tell us about their goods, and they wanted to hear about the United States, and they would give us tea and snacks and so forth, whether we bought anything or not. And the hospitality that we experienced in Bethlehem was some of the most extraordinary hospitality we felt anywhere on earth. And also, however, in Bethlehem, there's a huge 40-foot-high concrete, ugliest wall you have ever seen in your life. And there are soldiers walking around with guns, and there are people terrified of terrorists, and there is some of the worst treatment of human beings in the world also now going on in Bethlehem. A city of light, a city of darkness. It's the way our lives are, it's the way the season is, it's the way the world is. And one of the things that struck me is that for all the darkness going on, I can't think of a place on earth where there are more problems over the span of history than Bethlehem and the region surrounding it. And yet, God never leaves that town in darkness. God never, ever leaves people in total and utter darkness. The light of God especially comes where we struggle, where we're sad, where we feel lost, where we're having trouble connecting with everybody else's happiness. My very first trip to Bethlehem, it was part of a big evangelism convocation. And so there were a couple thousand of us, and we were out there in Bethlehem. And at that time, it was a much smaller city, a much smaller population than it is now. And they announced to us that a girls' choir was going to sing at our worship service. We were going to go outside the city of Bethlehem, out to where the fields were. The story I just read, the shepherds are out in the field and they're watching their sheep, and an angel appears to them. And they said, we're going to go out there, we're going to have a worship service on the hillside in the fields, and a girls' choir is going to sing, and all the girls in the choir are blind. And I thought, well, what a bummer that, what a terrible thing to have happen to somebody. And can't we I mean, can't we get a group of happy people to sing for us? I thought. Well, maybe it was the jet lag that was making me think like that. I don't know. But for some reason, it just struck me as odd. And so we got out there, and the girls' choir started singing. And, you know, the interesting thing is even though they had darkness in their lives, both literally and figuratively, they didn't sing about the darkness. That's not what they sang about. They didn't sing about the problems. And there were plenty of problems they could have sung about. They sang the hymn, "We've a Story to Tell to the Nations." A story of love, a story of peace, a story where there will be no more battles, a story where the grace of God is poured out for all people, a story where no matter how this life makes us weak, the glory of God comes into our lives, the light of God comes into our lives and makes us strong. And it was one of the, I mean, our choir was great, but that one was great too. God never, ever has left Bethlehem in the dark. Whether it is Ruth showing up with Naomi, or David, the shepherd, ascending to the throne, or Jesus being born there, or shepherds hearing the angel choirs, or the wise men traveling from the east to adore him and offer him their gifts. God has never, ever left Bethlehem dark. Even though there's the darkness now of this horrible, ugly wall, even though there is the darkness of oppression, it's still not a dark city. And the God who never leaves Bethlehem dark never leaves you or me dark either. And that's why we're here tonight. And that's why we're singing our songs.